हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। ओम अज्ञानातिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यामनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपं कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत कदा आस्तादिगौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Hare Krishna, everyone. So, Samhakand. So, yesterday we finished Aranyakand, where Prabhu ended, where Lord Rama went to Shabari. And then, on the order of that Kadamba Rakshasa, who was basically a Yaksha, he basically requested Rama and Lakshman to go to Shabari's hermitage and then finally go to this mountain, Rishyamukha mountain, to meet Sugriva. And then Lord Ramachandra with Hanuman, they went to meet Shabari. And then Shabari took him, Lakshman, on a guided tour to a beautiful area surrounding Lake Pampa. And then she requested that please go and meet Sugriva on a Rishyamukha mountain. So there we ended Aranyakand, and today we'll start with Kishkindakand. So after Shabari left for heavenly abode, Lord Ramachandra and Lakshman, they went to Lake Pampa. So when they went to Lake Pampa, the spring was already there, and the beauty of that Lake Pampa brought back the memories of his loving pastimes with Sita to Rama. And then Rama started literally lamenting, and he said, "Oh Lakshmana, it is now the month of Chaitra, and this lake is so beautiful, and its deep blue waters are constantly reminding me of my dear Sita. Without Sita, life seems to be meaningless. And see, when I hear these cuckoos call, I think of Sita's sweet voice. And when I see these pink lotus flowers, then I think of Sita's eyes. This gentle, fragrant breeze that is blowing, this reminds me of Sita's honey-scented breath. Oh, Lakshma, this pain is so unbearable for me. And I don't think so that I can any longer live without my dear Sita. So I request you please go back to Ayodhya and assist Bharata, where I will stay here and eventually will give away my life." So this is how Lord Rama was lamenting, just like an ordinary man. It's just a pastime. He came as a manushya, right? He came as a human being. So he was acting like a human being, where he was lamenting for his very most dear wife, Sita. So after that, when to hear all this, Rama, Lakshmana replied, "My dear brother, there is no reason for you to suppose that Sita is not alive anymore. So please give up all this lamentation and let's go to Rishyamukha mountain and go and see for Sugriva." And then hearing Lakshmana's word, Ram gave up his depression, and finally they reached the vicinity of Rishyamukha hill. And from a distance, when they were coming, Sugriva saw Rama and Lakshmana approaching, and he started suspecting, and he said, "Oh, they may be some allies of Vali. Maybe Vali has sent them." So Sugriva became so afraid, and then he quickly went again under the shelter within the ashram of Matanga Rishi. And in spite of that, so much security is there because there were a lot of monkeys and Hanuman was present, but still Sugriva was feeling so restless and so frightened that he was just wandering from one top hilltop to another hilltop. And he was not able to sit even for a moment. And Hanuman said, "Hey, my master, why are you so distracted? Please give up the fear of Vali. You are well protected. Don't worry." And then Sugriva said, "Well, whether they are the agents of Vali or not, these persons are certainly frightening. Indeed, these two warriors look like chiefs of the demigods and are armed with bows and swords. Certainly, Vali is very cunning, and because I know that he has many friends, therefore I want you to go and find out why they have come here. Observe them carefully and just note their speech, note their expressions, and then you just find out why they have come and after all what they want. And then he told that I purposely request you to please go and detect the secret of these enemies and go in disguise. Don't go as a monkey, just go as a mendicant. Because he was so suspicious. And Hanuman said yes. So Hanuman concealed his real form and he appeared to Ram and Lakshmana as a mendicant. And then as soon as Rama and Lakshmana saw Hanuman and Hanuman saw his dearmost Lord Rama Lakshmana, actually at that time he didn't know that, you know, they were his dearmost Lord. But Hanuman paid his obeisances and he said, "Oh great heroes, please tell me about your exalted personalities. Why have you come to sit to this desolate region? Nobody comes here, but why you have come? Your strongly built bodies indicate that you are the warriors, but you are dressed like an ascetic. What's the reason?" And then somehow he was not able to conceal his identity. So being a mendicant, still he said, "Oh Lord, I am Hanuman. I am the minister of Sugriv, who has been banished from his kingdom by his elder brother Vali. And I am the son of Vayu. And I can go anywhere and assume any form that I please. And Sugriv has basically sent me so that I can extend his hand of friendship and hospitality towards you." So this is how, you know, Hanuman, when he came in front of his most beloved Lord Rama, you know, the Paramatma from inside guided him and he was no longer able to conceal his form of being an ascetic. So he revealed his form. And then Rama told Lakshmana, "The Hanuman is a minister of Sugriva, the noble king of the monkeys. And he has been, whom we are always been searching for. And he appears to be so courteous and so poetic in his speech. And his eyes, his limbs, his attitude and his expression, there is nothing displeasing. I cannot find anything duplicitous in his activities. He has depth, he has confidence, he has a power. And likewise his speech, his mature heart reflects, you know, the voice, his heart, his voice, his intelligence reflects that he is such a mature person. And even an enemy would be charmed by his word. O Lakshmana, kindly explain to Hanuman all the events that were happened with us and why we are here. What brought us here today?" So this is the glories of Hanuman, that he was so eloquent in his speech, in his behavior, in his attitude, that even Lord Rama is glorifying Hanuman. And then Lakshmana started saying that, you know, "It's our so good fortune that we met you today." And then he said that, "We have been searching for Sugriv. We have been told by Kadamba, Rakshasa, the Yaksha, and then finally Shabri also requested us. So we are here and we want to make an alliance with your master Sugriva and have a friendship with him." And then he told that this is Rama, he is the son of Maharaj Dashrath, and I am his younger brother Lakshmana. And then Lakshmana, he basically narrated the whole story, how Lord Rama was supposed to be coronated, but on the orders of his father and mother Kekai, he was basically because of some political issues, Rama was banished, and then recently Rama's beloved wife has been kidnapped by Rakshasa, King Ravana. And then overwhelmed with grief, we have been searching for Sita in the forest, and while wandering here and there, we happened to came upon that fierce Rakshasa named Kadamba, who basically relieved us and told us that, yes, you can please go and meet Sugriva and make an alliance with him. So now we are here, we want to meet Sugriva, We are ready to do whatever your noble king order us to do. And as Lakshmana described and revealed the identity of himself and Lord Rama, Hanuman's eyes were filled with tears because he was also waiting for his beloved Lord. And seeing that, Hanuman immediately said, like you, Sugriva is also bereft of his kingdom and wife. And I'm certain that he and his followers will help you in this campaign of finding Sita. Saying this, Hanuman assumed his true form as a gigantic monkey. And then he took Lord Rama and Lakshmana upon his shoulder and went to Rishabhmukh Mountain. Upon arriving there, Hanuman went to first Sugriva and informed him of Rama's friendly intentions. And satisfied with all the words of Hanuman, Sugriva went out to meet Rama and Lakshmana. As he approached, Sugriva also extended his hand as an offering of friendship. And finally, they both were united in a bond of friendship. And afterwards, when they formally united, then Hanuman lit a sacred fire between Rama and Sugriva. And both of them circumambulated that fire and both of them took an oath. Sugriva said, my dear Rama, from this day on, your happiness will be my happiness and your sorrow will be my sorrow. And then Sugriva explained, my dear Rama, I pass my life in constant anxiety because my wife has been kidnapped, was forcibly taken away by my elder brother Wali, and even he took up my kingdom. Then I took shelter in this forest. However, I'm always haunted by the fear that my elder brother may come here anytime and attack me. So I do not have any peace. And Rama then smiled and replied. He said, service is the real fruit of friendship. So don't worry, Wali. You know, I will assist you in regaining your kingdom and wife. So both of them took oath. This is the bond of friendship, right? Both of them took oath. Even Sugriva said that I'm going to help you in finding your wife. And Rama also said that I'll also assist you in regaining your wife and your kingdom. And then Sugriva then said that Hanuman told me about your exile and the kidnapping of your wife. And as a friend, it is my vow to help you recover her. Oh Rama, I'm sure I saw Sita was being carried away by the powerful Rakshasa and she was crying out loudly, Rama, Rama. And then she saw me also seated on this hill with my associates. And as soon as she saw, she threw her some of the ornaments which I collected. And as soon as Rama heard this, Rama immediately said, oh, I'm so eager to see those ornaments. Kindly go, please bring those ornaments to me. And then as soon as Sugriva heard this, he just went into the cave and he immediately brought all the ornaments. And as soon as Rama saw those ornaments, he just cried out, oh, my darling, oh, my beloved dear Sita, where are you? I'm so much depressed in your separation. And all the tears, the five streams of tears were flowing down from Rama's lotus eyes. And Rama said, oh, Lakshmana, please see these articles. They were worn by Sita. Do you recognize them? And Lakshmana said, oh, Rama, I never looked at Sita above her ankles. So I cannot say whether all these ornaments belong to her. However, I do recognize her ankle belts because I used to bow her at her lotus feet every morning. So yes, by seeing these ankle belts, I can confirm that yes, these ankle belts are of my mother Sita. Rama then inquired about Ravana and Sugriva. And unfortunately, Sugriva replied that I have not heard of Ravana. However, you must be assured that I will certainly help you to find him. Hearing Sugriva's words, Rama became little pacified and then both of them embraced each other. And then Rama said, oh Sugriva, you also please rest assured that I will kill Wali. And first, however, I would want to know that why there was some enmity that was developed between you two brothers. I need to know the past. But rest assured, I'll definitely kill Vali and help you in regaining your wife and your kingdom. Then Sugriva started narrating, and he said, After my father died, Vali became the elder prince. He became the king of Kishkindha, and I engaged in his service. But before that, there was a big demon, Maya Danava. His son Mayavi, he came and he somehow established an enmity towards Vali. And one day he came when everybody was sleeping. One night everybody was sleeping, Mayavi came, who was the son of this Maya Danava. He came and he came to Kishkindha and he challenged Vali to fight. Although all of us, including Vali wives and myself, we tried to restrain Vali and said, please don't go out to meet this aggressor. But Vali was not listening. And Vali said, no, I'll certainly go out if somebody has challenged me. And hearing this, Vali went. And so Sugriva said that I also accompanied Vali. Though Vali said that you don't need to. But still I said that maybe this Mayavi has come and he has some other friends with him. So let me come and I'll protect you. I'll protect you. Why? You can fight with Mayavi and I'll see to rest of the soldiers whom he might have brought with him. So then they both went and they started chasing Mayavi. And when Mayavi saw that both have come, he became frightened and he started running away. So when he started running away, Vali and Sugriv, they both started chasing that demon. And finally that Mayavi, he entered into a deep dark cave that was covered with thick weeds. And then Sugriva said that Vali ordered me that you stand here, guard the entrance of this cave and let me go inside and fight with the demon. And that cave was a maze. It was not a single tunnel kind of thing, but it was so many areas to go inside that cave. So when Vali went inside, it took him long to come out because it was a maze, right? So it was so difficult for Vali to find Mayavi, that demon. Finally, Sugriva was standing outside of that cave at the entrance, guarding that cave. But thereafter, the whole year passed. And then Sugriva said that I saw no sign of my brother. And suddenly what I observed was a blood coming out, oozing out from the cave. And I could hear the noise of many demons, but not at all of my brother's voice. And for that, I concluded that Vali must have been slain. And then what I did, that I blocked the entrance to the cave with a huge boulder and offered water for the benefit of my departed brother's soul. And then I returned to Kishkindha. And then what happened when I came back, all the ministers forced me to accept this royal throne and become the prince, become the king of this Kishkindha and start ruling this kingdom righteously. And so I accepted it because I was rest assured that Vali is no more. So on request of all the ministers, I accepted the throne. And what happened after some time, one day, Vali returned to Kishkindha and having slain the demon. And when he came, he was so angry and he saw me seated upon that throne and he told all his ministers to arrest me. I somehow bowed down to the feet of Vali and said that I asked that how he is feeling now. And I told him the whole story, but Vali was not even listening to me. He became so angry and he called upon all the ministers. And then he said that you are such a brother that you have basically covered the mouth of that cave with a huge boulder because you don't want me to come back. You want my throne. So he started abusing Sugriva and finally he kicked Sugriva out of that Kishkindha kingdom and he took over the kingdom. And then thereafter, Vali took away all his possessions, including his wife, and banished him from Kishkindha, leaving him alone with just a single piece of cloth. And then Sugriva said that since then, I have been reciting here on this mountain along with my friends. Then Rama said, my dear Sugriva, rest assured that I will kill Vali so that you can recover your wife and your kingdom. after hearing Rama's assurance. Sugriva somehow got solace, but then he started doubting on the power of Rama. And then he said, I still want to tell you one more story that how powerful is my brother Vali is. So please listen to it. Listen to this story. Only then please rest assured me that will you be able to kill Vali or not? And then he started narrating. He said, once there was a great demon named Dundubi who wandered over the earth in the form of a buffalo. And upon reaching the seashore, Dundubi once challenged the ocean to fight. The ocean personified appeared and said, O best of the Suras, I am not at all competent match for you. Therefore, I suggest you to go to Himalayas, go and reach the deity of Himalayas, that is Himavan, who is the father-in-law of Lord Shiva. Go and approach him. Thinking this ocean to be afraid of fighting with him, Dundubi left him and he went to the Himalayan mountains. And there he started tearing away all the peaks and cliffs. And finally, Himavan also appeared and he said, I am the shelter of a great rishis who are non-violent and equipoised. So no need to challenge me. O greatest of demons, please leave it aside and do not create any further disturbance. And then that angry demon Dundubi said, then if you are not going to fight, then you have to tell me to whom I should go and fight. And then Himavan said, go and fight Vali. He is the son of Indra. So Dundubi, he went to Kishkindha and then he started tearing up all the grounds and hooves, uprooting great trees and damaging the city and the gates with all his horns because he was in the form of a buffalo. And then Vali immediately went out and he challenged that arrogant demon to fight. Vali, what he did, he grabbed Dundubi by the horns, whirled him around and dashed him on the ground, causing the blood to flow from demon's ears. And after a short time, the demon began to weaken. Seeing this, Vali lifted Dundubi into the air and smashed him on the ground with all his strength. So there is another reason why Vali could do that, because Vali got the benediction that whosoever he'll fight with, 50% of the strength of the opponent person will come to Vali. So therefore, Vali basically got 50% extra. He has his 100% and the 50% from the opponent side also comes to Vali. So he got 1.5 times of this power. So finally, he smashed Dundubi also. So then what he did, he lifted up Dundubi's dead body and hurled it 4 miles away. And the corpse of that Dundubi, it flew through the air. But somehow some of the drops of blood fell from his mouth and landed on the ground of Matanga Rishi's ashram. Then when Matanga Rishi saw this, he became so angry. And then when he came to know that the demon Vali has done this, he cursed Vali and he said, if that monkey, means Vali, ever comes within 4 miles of my ashram, he will certainly die. And if any of his ministers will come here, then they'll remain as statues for thousands of years. So although Vali tried to pacify Rishi, but you know, it all went in vain. He was not able to pacify Rishi. And so Sugriva said that since he was not able to pacify Rishi, so Sugriva, he basically took shelter of this Matanga Rishi's ashram on Rishimukha Hill, because here is the only place where Vali cannot come, so he could feel little secure. So after that, you know, Sugriva, he pointed out to the bones of Dundubi and he said, see, this is the huge mountain of Dundubi's bones. And then he said, can you imagine how powerful Dundubi must have been? And still you hope to defeat Vali? And then Lakshmana laughed. And realizing that Sugriva is doubting Ram's ability to kill Vali, he asked, what could Ram do so that he could prove his prowess and set your mind at ease. And then Sugriva replied, once at this place, Vali pierced 7 large trees with 7 arrows. If Rama could split one of these trees with a single arrow and then kick the remains of Dundibi's bones, whatever is there, to a distance of 200 bows length, then I would consider him to be a suitable match to kill Vali. Hearing this, Rama effortlessly he lifted the skeleton of Dundibi with his big toe and he sportingly flung to a distance of 18 miles. And Sugriva said, even Vali could throw Dundibi's body. It was heavy and flesh and blood. It was so heavy. But here it is only bones. It is so lighter now. So it's quite impossible for me to judge now who is powerful, whether Vali is powerful or you are powerful. Because even Vali could throw his body and sprung into that air and threw it to a large distance. So I don't know, because here it's just a bones. But when Vali did, it was blood, flesh, everything was there. So it was quite heavy. So Rama, what he did, he took up his bow and released a powerful arrow from his quiver and pierced all 7 trees. And that bow, it entered the earth, went down to the bottom of the universe, and after 1 hour, returned back to Rama's quiver. And Sugriv was struck with wonder and he bowed at Rama's lotus feet. And then Rama then embraced Sugriva and suggested, now let us go to Kishkindha. You go ahead and challenge Vali, while Lakshmana and I will hid behind some trees outside the city gates. And then Sugriva, he arrived at Kishkindha on request of Lord Rama, and he loudly roared and challenged his brother Vali. When Vali heard it, he immediately came out, rushed out, and in great anger, Vali struck Sugriva with his fist. And then Sugriva starts striking Vali with his fist, and both of them got indulged in a great fight. Rama was simply watching this. He could not decide which of them was Vali, for the two brothers exactly looks the same. And Rama refrained from discharging his arrows. And Sugriva was black and blue because Vali hit him so hard. And finally, somehow, Sugriva could barely, you know, he could barely achieve, you know, barely he could live. And he just somehow he came out from that war and he just, you know, though he was soaked in that blood, but still he came back to this mountain in Matanga's Rishi's ashram. And as he was running, Vali was chasing Sugriva and he was saying, hey coward, you are running again for your life, but this time I shall spare you. And he spared. And then Sugriva, when he came back to Matanga's ashram, Rama, Lakshman, Hanuman, they all arrived there. And Sugriva said, oh Rama, if you did not intend to kill Vali, why did you encourage me to challenge him? It would have been better for you to say that I am not willing to kill your elder brother. And then Rama tried to explain and he said, you both of you look so identical. It was so difficult for me to distinguish between both of them. And it was this reason that I hesitated to discharge my arrows. Then Rama ordered Lakshmana to garland Sugriva. And then he garlanded Sugriva and then Rama told, now with this garland on, you go again and again challenged Vali. And now I can be able to distinguish, but still I will hid myself behind the trees and bushes. Now Vali again, he went and again to Kishkindha and again he started challenging Vali. And he said, hey Vali, come out of your innermost apartment where you are simply enjoying with your wife, come out. And then Vali, when heard, he said, today I'm not going to leave him at all. Then Tara told Vali, Tara is Vali's wife, she told Vali to please cast aside your anger and don't go. Somehow I'm feeling so suspicious. What is there? Why is Sugriva calling you again and again and challenging you? There must be some hidden agenda. And, you know, our son Angad also told that he has made some allies with Rama and Lakshmana. So might be now they both are in friendship with Sugriva. And Rama, I heard that he has inconceivable power. So as compared to Lord Vishnu, so please, please just ignore Sugriva's challenge and don't go out. And then Vali said, I cannot tolerate such arrogance from my younger brother. And as for Rama is concerned, I have no quarrel with him. He is a virtuous Kshatriya and I have no fear that he would harm me because I don't bear any enmity towards him. And saying this, Vali just went out and he confronted Sugriva with a fierce struggle. And Vali and Sugriva, they both got indulged into a fight. Seeing this, you know, Sugriva, just, you know, when he was seeing that his strength is going down, he just indicated Rama to shoot an arrow. And then Rama fitted a powerful arrow and finally released the arrow that deeply went into the chest of Vali. And Vali felt, he fell flat lying on the ground. So Vali, basically, he didn't give up his life immediately because it has been told that he was wearing a gold chain which was given to him by his father, King Indra. So after that, when Rama hit Vali and Vali was lying flat on the ground, then Rama and Lakshmana came out from their hiding place and they approached Vali. And Vali started chastising Rama. He said, I heard you are a righteous hero and king devoted to dharma and compassionate. You make an external show of virtue, but your sinful action has betrayed your sinful heart. I fought with Sugriva because I was convinced that you would not attack me. How could anyone claiming to be a Kshatriya or a hero can kill someone without having any enmity towards him? I never harmed you or insulted you. I never attacked your kingdom. What merit do you have acquired by striking me unfairly? How will you ever justify this action in front of a righteous man? If you would have fought honestly, then it would have been you who would have been lying here, not I. Now, you shot your arrow at me from behind like a snake attacking a sleeping man. And I challenge you, Rama, to justify this shameful act. And then hearing this, Rama said, see, this whole earth, all these mountains, this forest, this river, it's all been ruled by Ikshvaku dynasty. And the kings of Ikshvaku dynasty have complete authority on all men and animals to have the power to punish or to reward them, whosoever they please. So you have really done some sinful acts. You have taken Ruma, who is the wife of Sugriva, your younger brother, and enjoyed her as your wife. So it is this sinful act that you really deserve punishment for having the sexual relationship with your younger sister-in-law, basically who is just like a daughter. And if a king does not punish a sinner, then king has to bear that sinful reaction. So it is for this reason that, you know, I have killed you. And then Vali said, hey Rama, but you know that I am a monkey. And you know what is the consciousness of monkey? Monkey consciousness is always so lusty. So how can you say that, you know, I being in a monkey body cannot enjoy my brother's wife? Because I am just an animal. I don't follow the rules of all this Manu Samhita that you are just declaring. I am just in an animal body and that too in a monkey consciousness. So you just cannot prove your act, your shameless act by killing me from behind. And then Rama said, okay, if you think that you are an animal, then I am a Kshatriya. And Kshatriya can hunt any animal. And while hunting, they just don't go in front of the animal. They just hid behind the trees and then they hunt. If that's the case, then also I can surely prove that my act is not at all sinful. And hearing these words of Rama, Vali felt so ashamed and he said that I was overly proud and ignorant of my own sins. O Rama, I asked you to please forgive me And secondly, I asked you to give protection to my only son, Angada. And please also take care. Give some protection to my wife, Tara. And meanwhile, Tara, she came out from her kingdom. And when she saw that Vali was lying flat on the ground, she wanted to hurry up to reach to Vali. And all the ministers told Tara, please don't go. And this is not the right time. You first have to enthrone someone on this throne. Somebody should become the king. So you should first appoint your son Angada as the king of Kishkindha. And then with the army we'll approach. And Tara said, I don't care for all this. I don't care for any sovereignty now. I don't care for this kingdom because all this royal opulence and this kingdom is useless without my husband. And she started crying and lamenting. And then Hanuman went and pacified Tara. And then Vali said, my dear Sugriva, I beg you to forgive me for all the wrong that I have done towards you. Accept the kingdom from me now and take care of my son Angada, and he shall always remain faithful to you. So when Vali was spoke all this, Sugriva felt so bad. He became so despondent. And with a sorrowful voice, he told Rama that I have found now that I was wrong. You know, I just tried to fulfill my desire, and because of which I forced you to kill my elder brother. But now I have to atone to all the sins that I have done. And for that, I want to give up my life. So my dear Rama, I just cannot keep up with my promise that I did to you. So from here onwards, all these heroic monkeys will help you in search of your beloved wife. And please give me permission so that I can leave my body. Hearing this, Rama said, your tears of sorrow are sufficient for the departed soul of your brother and for the atonement of all your sins that you have done. This world is just in a moving direction of eternal time, and all the living entities make their appearance and departure. Time doesn't stop. Time have no limits. So please don't lament for which is inevitable, because death is inevitable. And this Sugriva pacified, Sugriva became pacified, and then Lakshmana helped to begin to arrange for the cremation of his brother's body, and the final rites for Vali happened. Now when the funeral ceremonies were completed, Hanuman requested Rama to accompany Sugriva to Kishkindha and install him onto the royal throne. Then Rama declined and he said, I don't have the authority to enter any of the kingdom. So I suggest to you, Hanuman, you please go and do the needful. And then now there are the 4 months of Chaturmasya. So I with Lakshmana will simply stay at that Matanga's Rishi's ashram. So let this 4 months, this all rainy seasons can pass by, and you and Sugriva can take over the charge of Kishkindha, and let this monsoon seasons pass by. And after that, we'll start again the search of Mother Sita. Then Sugriva entered Kishkindha. He was welcomed, and finally, he was installed in that. Sugriva basically then accepted his wife Ruma, and installed Angada as his apparent to the royal throne. Now, after this 4 months passed by, means Rama and Lakshmana, they were there in Matanga's Rishi's ashram. So after these 4 months passed by, Rama said to Lakshmana, hey Lakshmana, now I think so is the time that Sugriva should come back and we should start finding Mother Sita. And then Lakshmana said, I don't know what happened, why Sugriva is not back again. So Rama said that you should please go to Sugriva to regain his kingdom and make him remember about all his obligation that he did. He assisted me to find Sita. But now this autumn has arisen, so you please go and remind him. So when Hanuman saw how Sugriva has become a slave of sensuality, you know, and he made Sugriva remember his vow that he made to Rama. that you should now try to fulfill the obligation to Rama. And still, Sugriva was totally enjoying, he was total in sense gratification. And then finally, Lakshmana came to Kishkindha on orders of Rama, and he said, "O king of monkeys, one who acts like you is the most vile of persons. I'm so astonished that you are not afraid of neglecting Rama, the slayer of your elder brother. I therefore warn you that if you neglect your promise to help Rama find Sita, then I will personally come to Kishkindha and kill you because the doors of death are still open." And finally, when he heard Lakshmana screaming and shouting like this, he became so, he was really felt apart. And Sugriva then immediately told all his ministers to go. And all his ministers, they went and they brought Lakshmana inside the inner chamber where Sugriva was there. And Sugriva then told his wife, "Ruma, you first go and face Lakshmana because I don't have the power to face Lakshmana." And then Ruma came forward and Lakshmana was somehow pacified. And then he told that your husband has neglected his obligation to Rama. So instead of passing his days in his inner apartments, enjoying all sense gratification, tell him that now is the time to help my dear brother in finding Sita. Then Tara somehow pleaded Lakshmana. Tara also came and she pleaded Lakshmana that yes, we will definitely tell. And then she went to Sugriva and told Sugriva that you should immediately take action now. Then Sugriva ordered Hanuman. All the monkeys from the Himalayan, Mahindra, Mandra, Kailash mountains, they all were brought. They were ordered that you all should be here within 10 days. Otherwise, you all will be killed. And then Hanuman immediately dispatched the monkey leaders in all the directions. And within the same hour, millions and millions of monkeys came pouring into Kishkindha. And then Lakshmana, Sugriva and Hanuman, they all went where Rama was there too, in that Matanga's Rishi's ashram. And then Sugriva begged forgiveness from Rama. And then Rama somehow lifted Sugriva and embraced him. And Sugriva said, "My dear Rama, please rest assured. I'm really eager to help you. And that's why I've called up all the monkeys who are here, assembled here and are ready to follow all your directions and instructions." Then Rama said, "My first mission is to locate the abode of Ravana. So my dear Sugriva, you please organize the search parties." And there is a whole description being given that how Sugriva sent all the monkeys to different directions. And he told, like, I'll just give you one example, that he told one of the group of monkeys to go to the eastern direction, including the seven oceans and the seven islands. And he told that beyond the milk ocean, there is an ocean of fresh water. And 13 yojanas from the eastern shore of the freshwater ocean is the mountain called Jatarapushila. So which is made entirely of golden rocks, and there Anantashet resides, supporting the entire earth. So when you see that, don't go beyond that because that's the limit. There only you can go. After that, you cannot. And then he, next Sugriva dispatched Angada, Neela, Hanuman, Jamvand, Mahinda, Dvida. And they went to the southern direction. And to the southern direction, he said that further south, there is a Bhogavati, the capital of Rasatala, which is presided over by Vasuki. So then beyond that Rishabha mountain, which marks the furthest boundary of Bhumandala, is the abode of Yamaraj. Do not search the Pitta Loka or anywhere beyond, for no earthly being can go there. So this way, you know, he gave the limits in all the directions where all the leaders, you know, accompanied with some parties of monkeys, they can go and search. And to the north he sent, and then he said there is a Krauncha mountain, don't go beyond that. So this way he started ordering and sent all of them to different directions. Hearing all these words, Rama was so much convinced, and Rama said that how come you know all these directions? And then Sugriva said that when I was banished, I went all over the Bhumandala to save myself from the wrath, from this anger of Vali. So I know all these locations. But finally, when I came to know about the curse, I took shelter in this Matanga Rishi's ashram. And then Sugriva told Hanuman that somehow we have full faith in you, that you will be more courageous because you have so superhuman strength. So we have so much hope from you especially that please, that you will be able to come and give us the news of Mother Sita. And hearing these words, Rama also became so convinced that, yes, Hanuman, I'm pretty sure that you will be the one who will give me the news of my beloved wife. And then he said, Hanuman, saying that this is, take this ring. Rama gave his ring. He said, my name is inscribed on the inside of this ring. So when you find Sita, just give this ring to her and she will become convinced that you are my devotee, you are my envoy. And my dear Hanuman, I will full confidence that you will be able to carry out this important mission on my behalf. Then finally, all the monkeys, they started search for Sita. They spread out in different directions, but alas, the three of the sides, that is northern, eastern and western sides, they all came back and they reported Sugriva that they were unable to find Sita. And then while Sugriva sent them, he also told them that there is only 1 month. Within 1 month, you all have to report back. So the party that was led by Angada, they were still, you know, they didn't come back and they were in the Vindhya mountain range. And there they became tormented by hunger and thirst because the whole region was devoid of water. Then monkeys left that mountain and they entered the adjoining forest. But there, they, to their disappointment, all the trees did not bear the leaves, not even what to talk about fruit or flowers. There were no leaves on the trees and it was so dried up. And then the forest had once been the home of the great sage Kandu. So when his son died prematurely at the age of 10, the rishi became so angry that he cursed the entire forest to become unfit for the habitation of man and beast. And that's why there were not even a single leaf on the trees. And these monkeys were super hungry. And finally, they found a cave and they all entered into the cave, hoping to find something, some water, some food inside that deep, dark cave. So when they entered that deep, dark cave, you know, what they did, they made a chain by holding the hands of each other. And 8 miles inside the cave they went. And when they were proceeding, they came to a golden trees. There was a grove of golden trees and there were beautiful ponds and lovely gardens. And then Hanuman was so happy that all the monkeys will, you know, they'll be able to quench their thirst and their hunger. But suddenly what happened? There approached a woman, a beautiful ascetic woman dressed in black deer skin and glowing with a great spiritual effulgence. Hanuman approached her with the folded hands and said, kindly tell us who you are and to whom this cave belongs. Why does everything have such a golden appearance? We are very tired and thirsty. We have been wandering about through waterless regions for a long time. And then the woman replied, my name is Swayam Prabha. Her name was Swayam Prabha. She was the daughter of Meru Savarni. And she was the friend of Apsara Hema. And she said that I remain here and I guard this cave. This cave named Rakshabila is created by Maya Danava. And after performing austerities, Maya Danava received a benediction from Lord Brahma, who enabled him to possess all the mystic powers. And thereafter, Maya Danava continued dwelling here. However, later on, Maya became attached to Hema. And Indra drove him from these regions with the help of his thunderbolt. Then Lord Brahma gave this cave to Hema. Now, please, she said, make yourself feel at home and kindly tell me your purpose of coming to this region. So she gave the whole description that who was the owner of the cave and how now she is the caretaker of this cave. And then Swayam Prabha, she was with great hospitality. She narrated the whole story. And then finally, Hanuman also narrated the entire story of Ram's exile. And then Hanuman said, we cannot thank you enough for your kind reception that you did. And is there any service that we can perform for you in return? Then Swayamprabha replied, because I am engaged in performing austerities, I have nothing to ask from others. Then Hanuman said, our master, the monkey king Sugriva, has allotted us 1 month to find Sita. That time has already expired and we therefore feel doomed. Is there any way that you can help us? Then Swayamprabha replied, it is nearly impossible for anyone who has entered this cave to get out alive. So whatever I can at the most do is that I can help you to go alive from this cave. But for that, you must close your eyes and no one can leave here while looking about. And then monkeys, they kept their eyes tightly shut and suddenly they felt themselves transported out of the cave. And when they at last opened their eyes, they saw that everyone has been carried out of the cave. And looking about, they could see all the trees were now in full bloom. All the monkeys then assembled and there was no question for them to return back to Kishkindha because 1 month has already been passed and they had no news of Mother Sita. And then, all the monkeys, they all proposed to Angada and said, let us take shelter within this cave. There is another cave when they were transported out, for we could all live here without fear of being discovered by anyone. But then Hanuman said that it's not, basically Angada also agreed to the decision of all the monkeys and he sat down on the kusha grass and started weeping. And all the other monkeys also surrounded him, but Hanuman was somehow not in this favor. And Hanuman said, no, either we should just continue our search of Mother Sita or let's go back to Kishkindha. And just let's go back to Sugriva and report that we were also failure in finding Sita. But as they were just, all the monkeys were sitting outside the cave, then what happened? That Sampati, he was the elder brother of Jatayu, he came out of that cave and perched on the top of that mountain in sight of all the monkeys. And he said to them, wow, by the grace of providence, I finally got some food after such a long time. When the monkeys began, you all monkeys, when you began to fall down dead from starvation, I shall eat you all one by one. Hearing this, Angada became agitated and addressing Hanuman, he said, what a horrible fate we see now. And this is all because of the doings of that evil Kekai. First, she caused the destruction of the great soul Jatayu, then Vali, and now she will become the cause of our death as well. Now, the first time when Sampati heard the name of Jatayu's death, he was bewildered and he said, requested all the monkeys, he requested Angada, please tell me all the details about the passing of my brother. He's my younger brother. You just mentioned that Jatayu is dead. I have become very pleased in hearing Jatayu's name glorified by you, although I'm so distressed to hear of his death. Oh, best of the monkeys, I wish to beg one favor from you. Long ago, the rays of sun burned my wings and now I cannot fly. Would you please kindly help me to come down from this mountain peak and then please narrate me the whole pastime that you were referring to? And the monkeys went and they helped Sampati come down off that mountain top. And Angada told the entire story of Rama's exile and the heroic death of Jatayu, how Jatayu also died while saving Mother Sita from Ravana. And in turn, Sampati related his own history in a very tearful voice. He said, long, long ago, Jatayu and I wanted to test our prowess by challenging the king of heaven, Indra. And after soaring high into the sky up to the heavenly planets, we defeated Indra in the battle. And then having been proud, we decided to rise up even higher. Thereafter, as we approached the sun, Jatayu grew faint from the great heat. So to save Jatayu, I covered him with my wings. In the process, my wings became burned and I fell down into this Vindhya mountains. Angada then interrupted saying, if you are actually the elder brother of Jatayu and our well-wisher, then please give us some information about the abode of Ravana. Then Sampati replied, because now I have grown very old and my wings are burnt, I am unable to physically serve Lord Rama. But at least what I can do is I can serve through the power of my speech. I was told that a young lady was carried away by Ravana, and while crying out, Rama, Rama, she dropped off her ornaments to the ground. And I know this Ravana is the king of Rakshasas, and his kingdom Lanka is situated on an island 100 yojanas from the southern shore. Because I am a descendant of Vinata, we all know that, you know, Vinata, their sons, her sons were all in the Garuda family, right? So my vision extends for more than 100 yojanas. Thus, I can see the golden city from here. My dear monkeys, you will be able to find Sita in Lanka, guarded by the Rakshasis. Now, but please, before that, please grant me one more favor. Take me to the ocean so that I can offer some water for the departed soul of my brother. Hearing this, monkeys were overjoyed hearing about Sita. And they took Sampati to the ocean and quickly returned. Then Jambavan then asked him, how did you come to learn that Sita has been abducted by Ravana? Please kindly tell us. Then Sampati said, after my wings were burnt, I fell into this Vindhya mountain. My son, his name is Suparswa. He began to take care of me and bring my food. Once I was very hungry and he returned home without food, and I chastised him. My son, tell me, while searching for flesh today, what happened? Why you simply returned home without food? Then my son told that while I was searching for flesh, I happened to see a giant Rakshasa carrying away a young woman through the air. I wanted to bring both of them for you to eat, but the Rakshasa asked me in a very friendly manner to please allow us to pass by, and I could not refuse his request. And afterwards, the Siddhas came and informed me that he was Ravana and said that it was my fortunate for me that the Rakshasa, Ravana, he didn't kill me. So Sampati could see that the monkeys were now confident of his friendship, and he continued narrating his life history. And he said, after I fell into this Vindhya mountains, I remained unconscious for 6 days. And then when I came to senses, I went to see a great sage Nishakara, who was living nearby and was known to my brother and me. So when I met the Rishi, I asked him how my wings had, he asked me basically that how my wings have been burned, and I explained the entire incident. I told him that after falling from the sky and not hearing from my brother, I contemplated committing suicide by jumping from a mountain peak. Then Nishakara told me, do not despair, for I give you a benediction. In a future date, when you give this information to the monkeys about Sita, your wings will reappear along with your renewed energy. Saying this, the sage Nishkara retired, and then Sampati told that I came back to this Vindhya mountain, and for past 8,000 years, I have been simply waiting for all of your arrival. And as Sampati was speaking this to monkeys, the pair of wings, fresh new wings, sprouted from his body, and he felt a surge of some youthful energy inside him. And with great delight, Sampati encouraged the monkeys to resume their search to Sita. Then monkeys, they finally reached to the shore of the ocean. And now, after seeing that vast ocean, they again became despondent that who is going to cross this ocean? This is such a vast ocean, because they said that we cannot leap more than 100 yojanas to rescue Sita from the clutches of Ravana. And then Angada made a call, and he asked all the monkeys, how many yojanas you all can jump? Somebody said 10, somebody said 20, somebody said 30, somebody said 50, somebody said 70. And finally Sushena, he said, I can jump 80 yojanas. And Jambavan, he said, I can leap for 90 yojanas. But Angada said, I can probably jump 100 yojanas, but I doubt that I could do a second time so that I can make my return back journey. And then Jambavan said, that yes, we all know that you can do that, but it's not proper for you to do this or accomplish this task. Therefore, O dear Prince Angada, please order someone else to do it. And then Angada said, it does not matter who is in charge. If someone does not go to Lanka, be it myself or anyone else, then our only alternative is to fast here till death. And then Jambavan said, do not worry. O Hanuman, I know you are equal to Garuda, the carrier of Vishnu. Why haven't you spoken up yet? Please listen. I describe you the glories of the best of the monkeys. So now basically Hanuman kept quiet because he didn't know how many yojanas he can go. And then Jambavan basically reminded Hanuman of all his powers. And he said, once there was the foremost Apsara. Her name was Punjikasthali. And she was cursed by a rishi who took birth as Anjana, the daughter of a monkey, King Khunjara. So Anjana grew up to be an unparalleled in beauty and could change her form at her will. So once, after having married the monkey chief Kesari, Anjana took the form of a human being and started wandering through the mountains. Seeing beautiful Anjana, Vayudev, he became so captivated by seeing the beauty of Anjana. And he removed her dress by means of the wind. And he became so much overwhelmed with sexual desire. And so he embraced her by force. So Anjana, she just cried out and she said, who is violating my vow to accept only one husband? And Vayu replied, I am the god of air, Vayu. I have not physically spoiled your chastity because I have entered you mentally. By my grace, you will give birth to a powerful son who is equal to myself in raging at will. Then Anjana became pleased by Vayu's words and soon she gave birth to Hanuman. And then Hanuman could leap more than 3,000 yojanas into the sky. And then once, you know, Hanuman, as a baby Hanuman, he saw the rising sun. And so he leaped 3,000 yojanas into the sky, but was thrown back to the earth by the sun's brilliance. Then Hanuman jumped again. And this time Indra became angered by the monkey's audacity to come to near the sun. And so he hurled his thunderbolt. And thus Indra dashed Hanuman against a mountainside, because of which the left side of the chin got fractured. And because the chin got fractured, this incident gave the name Hanuman. Hanuman basically received this name Hanuman because Hanuman means one who has a broken chin. Then Vayu became really angry, furious with Indra's aggression. And he said that, why have you done this? This, you know, you have not done the great thing. You have harmed my son. Therefore, I will behold all the air from the three worlds. And then this incident, what Vayu did, it brought great anxiety among demigods. And then Lord Brahma, they rushed to Vayu's abode, hoping to pacify him. And Lord Brahma blessed Hanuman with invincible in battle. Indra also came. He also got pleased and surprised to see that the baby monkey has not been killed by his thunderbolt. And so he also awarded Hanuman the benediction of being able to die at will. So basically, they all pacified Vayudev. And then Vayudev, he got convinced, he got pacified. And all the demigods, they came and blessed Hanuman. Then Jambavan concluded, I consider Hanuman alone to be capable of executing our mission. Then Hanuman became greatly encouraged upon hearing these words of glorification. And to the joy of all the monkeys, Hanuman began expanding himself into a gigantic form. And he himself was now glorifying his own glories. He was glorifying himself. And he said, I am able to go around Mount Meru 1,000 times without even pausing and by splashing the waters of the ocean. I could inundate the whole entire world and I could circumambulate Garuda 1,000 times as he flies through the sky. And I can uproot the entire city of Lanka and carry it a great distance if I so desire. So now Hanuman got remembered of all his prowess, and so now he is he himself is glorifying him. So all the monkeys were thrilled to hear Hanuman's boast of his prowess, and they reminded him of the gravity of the situation. They said, "Yes, Hanuman, you please go now, and we shall all stand here upon one foot until you return. So do remember that our lives rest upon you, as well as all our hopes for recovering and finding the details of Mother Sita." Then Hanuman informed monkeys, "I will leap from the peak of Mount Mahendra, since this is the only mountain which is capable of sustaining the immense pressure that I will exert on the earth for my leap." Then Hanuman departed, and within a minute he arrived at the mighty Mahendra Hill, which would serve as a support for this monumental leap. So here we end with Kishkindha Kand, and tomorrow we'll read again this beautiful Sundara Kand, where Hanuman will start his journey from Mount Mahendra. So thank you all so much. I somehow tried to finish in time, but still it is 11 minutes past. Thank you so much, Preeti Vilasni Mataji. Your notes helped. Yeah, there are so many lessons to learn, but I thought, okay, let's only do the pastime because this is the story time. So that we can finish right in time. But still, it was 12 minutes past. Anyway, thank you for the opportunity. Okay, anyone else has anything to say? Very true. Thank you so much, Lalitangi Mataji. I was simply reading from the book. Okay, so thank you so much for joining. Dhanvad Pranam. Dhanvad Pranam Mataji, thank you so much for your words, but trust me, I was simply reading. So, but thank you for your rapt attention in listening. Okay, so thank you all so much for joining. Yeah, go ahead, Mati. Thank you. Yeah. Tomorrow we'll cover Sundar Kand, yes. Thank you so much, Mataji. Okay, thank you so much, Mataji. It was so wonderful. And it's a... Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Seriously speaking, this is not a class as such. I was simply reading. But yes, I'm glad that kids are also enjoying this pastime. So this is a wonderful idea that the whole week we are doing and getting ourselves immersed in Ramkatha. So it's a challenge, I know, for all the speakers, because just doing it. And especially, you know, covering it in 1 hour, I know it's a challenge for all the speakers. But still somehow, by Rama's mercy, we are able to do it. So, yeah. So thank you all so much. So, go ahead. Dhanvat Pranam. Thank you so much, Mataji. And all glories to all the kids who are also listening with rapt attention. So tomorrow is Ram Navami, and it's a beautiful Sundar Kand we'll be covering tomorrow. And thank you again for all your rapt attention and this opportunity. So before we end up today, I'll just seek all of your 4 or 5 minutes more, because I really want to sing this so that we can again immerse ourselves in Lord Rama pastimes.
Vitarashidikshurane dikapati kamaniyam dashamula mali balam ramaniyam keshavadrita ramasharira jay jagadish hare jay jagadish hare jay jagadish hare.
So this is by Jayadev Goswami, that it's Krishna himself, Keshava Trita Rama Sharira. There is no difference between Krishna and Rama. And tomorrow is Ram Navami. So let us celebrate with full enthusiasm in spite of this corona COVID-19 going on. But at least in our home, we can cook wonderfully. We can get ourselves immersed in Ram Katha the whole day. Chant extra. All a very happy Ram Navami. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Kripa Sindhu Bhai Vajai. Vaishnavi Bhai Namo Namo. Jai. 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 Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Gaur Bhaktavind ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai.